Welcome to the Killer Frogs, a podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 135 for Tuesday, October 29th of 2019. And on tonight's podcast, we got the boss, Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hello.
We got Hunter Nix. What's up, Hunter?
What's going on, guys?
Not much. We got Jack Hesselbrock.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
It's going good, man. You keep preeming your, you know, you're primping yourself in front of the mirror. I don't know what you're doing with that hat, but you look good.
Well, nothing. Thank you.
He's like, yeah, I look good.
Yeah, he knows it. We also have Hall of Famer WC Nix. Dubber, are you there? All right, so Dubber is there. He'll be back with us shortly.
I am here. Sorry about that. I was having technical difficulties.
That never happens.
You focus on your driving, WC. Focus on the road.
I am. I'm all good.
All right.
Oh, yes. So we are recording. It is a little nasty outside tonight, but I tell you what else was nasty was that win against the Longhorns on Saturday. What an amazing homecoming Saturday turned out to be for the Frogs as TCU beats the Longhorns 37-27 here in Fort Worth. And let's just start off with talking about this game because I think this was one of those that all of us kind of walked in. Well, not WC because I will have to admit, and Hunter told me this before the game, Dubber felt really good about this game. I know a lot of us kind of walked into this.
All week.
Yeah, all week.
He sure did.
You're the perfect barometer, Dubber. I don't know what it is. You predicted the SMU game. You felt bad about Iowa State. You felt good about this game. I think we just need to defer all of our predictions to you for the rest of the season. And you know what? Maybe later you could give me a holler and tell me how you feel about the rest of the Big 12 games so I can go on to mybookie.com and place my bets. But
I just felt good about this game for sure.
Well, it ended up being a good game. You were right about it. 100%.
Anyway.
What was that, Shannon?
My son and everybody I told was not near as confident as I was.
True. Very true.
Very true. I didn't start gaining some confidence until after that first half. So, well, let's go ahead and break down this game a bit. And let's go ahead. Hunter, let me start with you because I know, like I just said and as your dad just mentioned, I know you and I weren't feeling really confident going into this game. But after this game, how do you feel about this team and what you saw on the field on Saturday?
I just finally saw some of the confidence that I thought I would have seen a lot earlier with this team, whether that had to do with a young quarterback or, you know, but the defense as well just hadn't played with the confidence that they played this weekend. It just seemed like a different team from a mentality standpoint, at just a hype standpoint. They were ready to go, the defense especially. I mean, you know, we haven't been flying around with the ball like that all year, and then we had four picks this game. And you could just see it was a different energy level than it's been the rest of the year. And then lastly, Max Duggan, it was kind of his coming out party this week. You know, he had the good running week last week, but didn't, you know, not the best passing week. But this week he kind of put it all together, and it just showed you, man, he's going to be fun to watch for the next couple of years.
Let me pick up on that real quick, because last week on our podcast, and if you didn't hear last week's podcast, go take a listen. But we had mentioned something that I think actually came to fruition on Saturday, and that was we were kind of wondering – you know, this comment that was made by the coaching staff, especially head coach Patterson, was that if Duggan goes out there and throws an interception as a freshman quarterback, he's going to get benched. And we were kind of wondering, is that playing in his head? Is that something that's just always kind of in the back of his head, which is why he's overthrowing the ball or why he's not putting enough touch on the ball, and that it's either going to be our guy or no guy whatsoever, so he avoids the interception. Saturday, he throws that pick where he just kind of, you know, puts a little too much air under the ball or not enough air under the ball, and he gets picked by the safety. After that, it was a totally different Max Duggan from that point on. What do y'all think?
Sure was.
Yeah.
It's almost like he got that monkey off his back, and he was like, right. Well, now I can play. You know, I didn't die by throwing an interception, so now Now I can play. He loosened up.
I agree. I thought that was one of the biggest plays of the whole game. I thought that once he figured out that everything was going to be okay, I think he relaxed a little bit. And after he relaxed a little bit, I think we saw, I think we saw what hopefully we're going to continue to see. Because I keep hearing about how, you know, the deep ball, how pretty it is he throws and blah, 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 this, that. You just haven't seen it consistently. But you saw it, and hey, receivers, some of the receivers made some great catches. But, you know, I thought it was funny, especially in the second half, when he made that first big play, the defense fed off of it right then and there. And I said they didn't play good the first half, but the second half, they got so fired up, and all of a sudden, to me, that's what it looked like, the team that we hadn't seen in a long time on defense. And I mean, and then they were just, then offense and defense were feeding off each other.
Well,
it was a great game. And that's what I actually expected to see.
That's what I think what we were all expecting to see.
I just felt like that Dugan was real close last week against K-State. And they let him run. And they opened him up a little bit. They let him get a little confident, and I thought he could turn the corner. And then, for the most part, you know, we beat now, what's it, 5 out of 6 or 6 out of 7 years? Patterson always has a good scheme against Texas. It's kind of like going to Oklahoma State. It's bad there. We don't do great there. Well, he always usually schemes them well. And I just felt like he was going – you know, they don't have a running game, and they didn't – you know, they got wide receivers, but – if Ellinger can't get them to him, then to the wide receivers, then we're going to shut them down anyway. That's what happened in the second half.
Yeah, and TCU now is 6 of 8 since joining the Big 12 against Texas. So we lost the first game against them, which was that ridiculous long delay lightning game that we had here in Fort Worth. And then we, of course, last year. Let me get Shannon in here. Shannon,
we were so injured last year.
Well, that's true. But, Shannon, what you were about to kind of tack on to what WC was saying.
Well, this is the week where I call the buy-in week. That game, obviously the first half was just, you know, filling everybody. It was a crappy first half by both teams. But this is the game or the week where I call the buy-in week. The fresh, everybody bought. Everybody was on what would look like a totally different team. And all we can hope for is pretty much a new season at this point. From this point forward, I think they can get – if they just continue to play like they did Saturday, I think, you know, we can end up strong, if you will, with all the freshmen and everybody we have. We have a young team. We might as well accept that, embrace that. But to me, a lot of the guys that were up there talking in the Letterman's Lounge look like everybody bought in. This is that game, especially after the third and fourth quarter. Things started working. Things started clicking. Things we hadn't seen all year long. And that's a team on the same page on all sides of the ball. So it was good to see the maturity level from the second quarter after halftime, the third quarter, fourth quarter just jumped to another level, and it just seems like they bought in.
Well, and Dubber mentioned that, you know, they looked like they were flying to the ball. It was far more ball hawking than we'd seen all the way up to this particular point in the season. And let me get Nathan in here because Nathan joined us a little late. But Nathan, you mentioned something the last couple of weeks, and you mentioned this to me up in the press box. You want to see these guys come out with some fire, with some intensity, to get up there and just knock these guys around. Did you see that on Saturday? Were you happy about what you saw?
Oh, absolutely. It's not always like one specific play. It's always kind of just like little things here and there where you just see someone kind of like driving past the ball or driving past the whistle or making a hit. And, you know, people just fired up. People follow the lead of, like, say, Wallow, for example, making plays all over the place, and people respond to that and take what he's doing and apply it to what they're trying to do. And you know what? Hey, if he's going to hit him, I'm going to hit this dude. If this is my guy, I'm going to hit him just like Wallow just hit this dude. And a lot of times, like it would happen the last couple of weeks, or Wallow would make a play, and I don't know. I just feel like nobody cared. But I did see that a lot this week. Definitely seemed like there was an intensity. I don't know if it's in New Jersey's, but it is.
Yeah, I think those are here to stay.
Yeah.
They did not look as bad in person as I expected them to.
They did look bad on TV, though. They did look pretty good in person.
Yeah.
The cornerback, let me tell you, Gladney.
Yes.
He was awful.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Let me tell you, the cornerback, even number two, I forget
Keon
his name.
Stewart.
Yeah, let me tell you, he left them on an island all day pretty much, and they won the battle out there. And luckily, this was an officiating crew that allowed them to play a little physical.
Yes.
And, boy, they did. And, I was impressed by both of them. I mean, they left them out there on their good receivers. And for the most part, we flat shut them down. I mean, that was a lot of our success, too, was those quarterbacks. The quarterbacks it was the best game I've seen them play maybe in a couple of years. I mean, just one game, just shutting down some stuff totally. Man, they were awfully good.
And it wasn't just that. It was, Wallow keeping Ellinger in the pocket and making sure that he wasn't going to run all over the field like Thompson did the week before. He did a really good job staying home and, when necessary, go in there and try to finish off a play. I think the combination there between the fact that our guys on the island were shutting down their receivers and the fact that our linebacker, and again, it could have just been that they got enough practice out of what Thompson was doing the week before at K-State, but they did a fantastic job containing Ellinger, who was by far probably one of the better running quarterbacks in the league.
Well, did y'all notice what happened with Blacklock as far as all of a sudden when they'd go into three down linemen, that they didn't have a defensive end in there. He was playing defensive end for us on pass rush. That's probably our weakest thing right now, is we're still struggling with the defensive end. And I thought it was interesting that they took a 325-pound defensive tackle and moved him out there and let him start being an edge rusher, just because he's our best choice right now.
Well, what was that? It was the one touchdown running back out of the backfield. I think it was Blackshear that was supposed to break off and actually follow him, and he just left him wide open.
One of the DNs was supposed to follow with
Blackshear on that one.
Yeah, so I mean, that was. Yeah, that's a problem, and obviously, and here's my take on this: the issues that we had in that game are totally fixable. I mean, it's not like one of those things where we saw any sort of lack of ability or just guys just not getting it. It's just simply just a matter of, okay, look, when this happens, you got to do this, and those are great little things. If you just got to make small little tweaks like that, going into Oklahoma State.
We've kind of always had problems. We've always had problems with running backs out of the backfield. OU exploits that a lot of instances.
Wheel route is bad. Wheel route and fake punts.
Linebacker. Yeah, that's anytime that's a linebacker out of the backfield.
Yep. Yeah, not good. But let's go back. WC, let me bring you back on this though. On the defensive line though, we did rush a lot of just three guys most of the game.
Yep.
And we still got a lot of pressure on the quarterback. So, I mean, even though, you know, these guys, it's been kind of our Achilles heel all season long that we just don't have much of a pass rush. Rushing three guys seemed to work for us.
Yeah, we rushed three guys, but we'd sneak in a blitz, a quarterback blitz or a safety blitz. There'd be some coming late, but you're right. I mean, I just thought he changed it up. I thought it was interesting that he went with what he went with, and then I still come back to the cornerbacks, because really and truly, he left them on an island and everybody else kind of played zone. They manned up the safeties over the top playing zone, and that made Ellinger, he just didn't have anywhere to throw the ball, and they were getting back there just enough to make him uncomfortable, and they hit him a couple times, which made him real uncomfortable. But you're right about that. I mean, at least we've made him uncomfortable, made him run around and move out of the pocket and stuff.
Well, Jack, last week we talked a little bit about some of the previous games against Texas. And how would you rate this win against Texas on Saturday?
Oh, I think, what is there, 26 wins in our history? I'd say it's one of the top 10. Just because of the, I think the state that the fan base thought the team was in, and I mean, I hate to say the word overhyped, but I think Texas was even with their loss to OU, you know, it was pretty close loss in the scoreboard, even though it wasn't on the field. And I just think that we're going to look back, and it's kind of one of my points about momentum and turning things around is I think with last week, with that run that Max made, and then this week with some of these runs in particular, it was one where we were going south and we needed – he scrambled out of there on a third down and he got flipped on our sideline and made the first down. And, I mean, he landed on, you know, landed on his head. And the team, you know, came off the bench and off the sideline and picked him up. And, you know, he got up and they did the first down signal. And then you saw the way they reacted when he scored that last touchdown to make it 37. Probably the anointing of a starting quarterback. I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but – and then he had that first throw, that initial touchdown. Now, I know my eyesight's not as good as most people, but when he let that thing go, I saw four white shirts. And it came out the other end, and Pro Wells just kind of strolled into the end zone. And I was like, you got to have some mustard on that thing and confidence to thread that. Oh, and he did.
Yeah, I agree.
And he, you know, I just think that, you know, there was a – I think we'll look back someday and say that was kind of a turning point.
So was this, and I agree, I think this was a bit of a turning point. Is this Duggan's coming out party? Too early
to
say?
I sure hope so. Are you asking me?
Anybody, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I think for 2019, I'm not going to, you know, get into down the road because, you know, we've got people that are redshirting and et cetera. I'm not saying there won't be competition, but I think Max Duggan's going to be a major, major factor from here on out, save some kind of injury. I just – his attitude, the way he plays, I think he figures very prominently in the next 3 years of TCU football.
I'd like to see it again next week. I mean, that doesn't have to be exactly like that, but I agree with everything Jack said. I just, you know, he's still a freshman, and they have a tendency to go up and down. And so, but this is, I mean, I don't care how you win, just say win. And I think what this gave him more than anything, and I think you saw a little bit against K-State, he's a fighter.
Right.
And I think that if he'll fight, no matter what the stats are, this, that, I think he'll be fighting till the end to give us a chance to win. And I think Patterson loves that. And, you know, and of course, you know, this Texas game, I got to tell you, some of the reason why I really felt like we were going to upset it, how many times have we been at this point? We were here last year without any quarterbacks, really. I mean, they were all hurt, you know, and everybody's already ready to punch the ticket, you know, and me and Hunter talked about it. I'm like, well, if we lose this one, it's going to be hard to get the bowl game. And, you know, nobody – and this is when TCU plays their best, it seems like. You know, our backs are totally against the wall. We need this win. And all of a sudden, we go out and we perform like we did Saturday. I mean, that was – I hope that it throws us into a win streak and we got that confidence to keep doing that week in, week out.
That's a good point.
Well, and it kind of fits with a Gary Patterson team, too. They always seem to be kind of the late October and the November boys. You know, you go back to, you know, Shannon's day, I can remember, you know, we were pretty good and UTEP was blowing and going out there and they rolled in here and, you know, it was basically for the WAC championship. And the WAC commissioner made the mistake of, oh, this is a good story. I didn't even think of it. Made the mistake of calling me and saying, I'm going to send the WAC championship trophy to you in case UTEP wins it. We can present it that day. And I said something to Coach Franchione, and he said, let's bring it down there. So I brought it down there as they went out for the last time. I don't know if Shannon remembers Fran making a big deal of that trophy.
Yep.
But it's like they think they're taking this home today. And I mean, it was like a crazed bunch of dogs, as Lawrence Taylor says on NFL Films.
I forget exactly, but you just, I mean, I'm grinning because I'm like, dang, that's right. They did. That's what happened.
Yeah. I remember I got the box, and Eric Hyman was the AD, and he said, what's that? And I said, well, it's the championship trophy. It's the Western Athletic Conference football title. And he said, well, what are you doing with it? I said, well, technically, if they win today, they've got the head-to-head on us. Mm-hmm. And regardless of what we do in the last game, they're still the champion.
Right.
And he said, oh, that's – I said, well, I didn't know what to say. What do you tell the commissioner? No, I'm not taking it. But I did let the football staff know, and they decided to – and I actually brought it down when they were coming back in the last time before they went out on the field.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that's a good story.
It's very good.
That is a good story.
I want to mention the quarterback, back to him. And for me, a pivotal moment where I kind of feel like, man, they rallied around him. That last touchdown he scored, and frogs. I mean, I got goosebumps because you see his face, and you see the kid's face looking at him and kind of praising him, and he's just his focus level towards the fans and throwing up the frog. To me, that said a lot. To me, that was like, okay, I'm the quarterback of this team. The guys are buying in. You know, they're praising him, and I think that moment right there for me was like, okay, you know, it's his team for now. And they're going to rally around him for now because, you know, next year and we're young and we have a lot of competition at that position. I said, but as of right now, it's his team to lose. And I think the receivers and offense kind of have rallied after that moment. They will rally behind him. And I think his confidence level after Saturday has just went through the roof, especially with some of those throws Jack was talking about. I mean, they were spot on. Those two deep balls were just money. And going in over – We need that same play because we know offense, Oklahoma State's offense can score at will, and it's going to be a shootout, and we're going to have to make more plays. Just quite frankly, you know, I'm probably getting ahead of it, but whoever makes more stops on defense and whoever can produce on offense is basically just going to be the winner. That's how that game's going to go. And so I think from what I saw Saturday, I'm loving what I feel his confidence level is at. So kudos to him, man.
Well, I tell you what, Shannon, you said it right, Shannon. That was a huge drive. If we don't score there, I mean, they're real close. I mean, a lot of things could have happened. We needed it. I think everybody in the place thought we needed that score.
It was a three-point game.
Under that pressure to do it, I think that's where he just solidified himself and won the team 100%. Not that he hadn't already. But right then and there, I kind of agree. I mean, I thought he solidified it. I mean, it became his team right there, and everybody, I mean, it was just a totally different attitude.
Well, let's also not forget, it wasn't just that one play. It was also the play right before it, too. Because you had another third and 11, and he throws that ball to Barber, and Barber makes that spin catch down there at the 11, and then they come right to the line, and then – Duggan just runs it right in, right down their throat. I mean, that was beautiful.
Well,
the thing about
Barber
it is, nobody saw
either.
Duggan. Did y'all see Duggan get hit? Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
When he let go of that ball, when he let go of the ball and they caught it, I was looking at him because I was thinking, man, I wonder who they're – I mean, he's down. I wonder who the second team quarterback's going to be because, I mean, he got leveled. I mean – And that's what I like about him. And you know what? It'll even be better when they show the field this week, showing that he stood in there knowing he is fitting to get rocked. And to make that pass was unbelievable.
Well, and there was one where he was flushed out of the pocket in the end zone. And
The
defender got a piece of the face mask, and he reaches up straight to the face mask.
He didn't get a piece. He got a whole chunk of it.
And he makes the play. But I mean, you know, that's hard to beat that kind of poise.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that play, it wasn't just, you know, that he got away from it. He got away from what was almost a surefire safety and then ran for a first down. I mean, it was just like, and that was, I think that was another third down play as well.
That might have been the one where he got flipped.
It was.
Because I remember seeing that and then watching it on the replay, and I'm thinking, my God, he just dove, and it's like, I'm getting the first down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that got flipped a few times, but he would always pop right back up and show that first down sign, and he's fearless. He's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Well, as long as he doesn't take the Boykin route when it comes to flips, I think we'll be okay.
The front flip into the end zone.
Did y'all look at the paper today? I mean, I don't really want to read the paper, but did y'all see what y'all think about our big offensive tackle deciding he's done, shut himself down for the season?
Oh, yeah, Lucas Nair.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's having surgery, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's having hip surgery, too.
But he's done.
I did hear that he was advised to shut down medically. I mean, is there something else that I've missed?
No, he was advised to. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he wasn't even supposed to play in the UT game, but he said, no, I got to end my career, you know, on the right note. So,
I mean, they kind of give you the option. They're like, hey, you can either keep playing or you can, you know, walk with your kids. And so
right. Okay.
Most players are going to take the other option.
Well, he's got a career too after this, so he needs to take care of it. He definitely
He's set even outside of the world of football. He's a great student athlete. Definitely takes the student part seriously, and so he's good at promoting himself.
Good.
Well, TCU will watch. We'll look after him. We'll take care of him because that guy gave 100%.
He hadn't given up a sack in 2 years. I don't know if we're going to replace him very easily.
it'll be tough for sure. But
that's the thing. It's going to be tough.
Yeah,
well, it has to be a lot of pain this last six, seven ball games if he's had that condition.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but he's making the right choice for himself and his future. So, you know, you got to applaud the guy and his mental toughness to be able to go out there and play against UT knowing that this is hanging over his head. And just one bad play, and that can go from bad to worse or even catastrophic.
Honestly, just being able to say, like, hey, like, my life is more important than the game. Because you see a lot of times, like, athletes are like, no, let me just go back in. Let me keep playing. And it's heroic and we commend it. It's great. But the mental toughness to be able to say, hey, you know what? I would love to play football, but I need to go and do this to look out for myself is a lot tougher than people make it out to be.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, and that's been your entire life for the most part, right? I mean, you've been playing for so long. I mean, to walk away like that is
and luckily he's still going to come back after this.
He's done for the season,
he's doing this to play in the pros.
But there's no guarantee though either, Hunter. I mean, I think
he is done. I think he's calling it.
He's not going to play ever anymore?
I don't think so.
Really?
Well, that's not what he said.
Yeah, on his Instagram, what I understood.
I mean, what he said was that he needed to take care of himself and get this fixed and then, you know, get ready for the draft, you know, because, I mean, he's going to be – and he's – hey, whether – it doesn't really matter one way or another, whether he's going to not play anymore or whether he's going to play for 15 more years of the pros, he still needs to get it done. That's not the question.
Definitely.
I mean, it's worth that. He was hurt, and then – you got to love it that he wanted to play and play in pain, and he was willing to sacrifice that for as long as he did, actually.
Great game to go out on.
Yeah.
It is. Absolutely is.
So who comes in? Who's the backup?
It'll either be Bolasimi or Austin Myers.
Yeah.
Or at least that's
Austin
what we think.
Austin Myers was actually starting and lost his starting job on the one side, didn't he?
Yeah.
Wasn't he supposed to be starting the first year?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, that's a good thing. We're pretty deep in tackle, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so at least that's good. That's a positive thing. And, the one good thing they do is they play offensive linemen more. Just, you know, they rotate some in and out, so not just somebody coming in totally green, not playing at all.
Yeah, it's a lot of depth, a lot of experience, a lot of game experience at that unit. So that's a good thing. So, but he is going to be hard to replace. Absolutely. You can't just replace a guy like that, you know, in 1 week. Hopefully we can. I don't know, but I don't think you can.
Yeah, maybe we can.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, like replacing a WC Knicks.
Yeah.
No. Let me tell you, next Monday we'll know one way or another.
That's true. Well, speaking of great plays from great players, why don't we go around the horn and why don't you guys give me who was your favorite player of the week on Saturday? And Hunter, let's go ahead and start with you.
I'm going to go with actually our Darius Washington. I thought he was the spark on defense, and he's kind of been underrated this season. He's not been a starter. He's gotten a little bit of action, and this was his third pick actually, even though he's not been a starter all year. So I think he gave us a spark on D, and that's who I'm going with.
And he got the first interception of the day, right?
Yes, he was the first interception of the day.
Yeah, that definitely got us kickstarted. Nathan,
I'm gonna go with Tay Barber. Obviously, we expect him to be good, but just the impact that he made on Saturday just showed how much we missed him the last first half of the season. So I definitely think Barber takes it in my booth.
Yeah, definitely a good pick. He came up big in several times in that game. Yeah. So, Shannon, how about you? Best player?
Going Wallow. The pressure he puts on the quarterback. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Big shock. Linebacker picks linebacker.
Yeah, but I also
watch the wide receiver guy. Pick
if he just wore 41, it'd be perfect.
Listen, that guy's gonna make 30 shine. He's a hell of a player. I love him. I'd focus on him because the defense starts with him, and a lot of the pressure comes from him. But that last play, I mean, he's busting that quarterback in the ribs while he's making that stupid throw. But it wasn't had to get rid of the ball because he had a linebacker coming down on him, and he didn't have time to look at the inside cornerback making a pick there. So I got to give it to him because I just love his play and I love what he exudes out there on the defense, man. He's just an awesome guy. I'm a fan.
Well, Shannon,
easy to follow.
Yeah, he is. Shannon, quick aside on that, though, because I know we're talking about, you know, this is kind of Dugan's team now. He's kind of taken over the offense. He's taken leadership on that end. On the defensive side of the ball, do you finally see Wallow really kind of taking that role?
It is. It's been his. That's been his since week one, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't stopped playing that way since day one. That is totally his defense. You know, obviously those guys have got up. I mean, listen, for him to come in, gain 20 pounds, and still be able to run sideline to sideline and do the things he's done this season already, he's going to end up with over 100 tackles. I mean, it's amazing to see this. Again, I'll go back to it. I just think he's a guy you can move from. I just went blank on the linebacker that went from New Mexico to went to the Bears. But anyway, Urlacher. That's what he reminds me of because of what he did. He sits there, he comes from safety, puts on weight, comes down, and he's all over the field. And this guy, you can't stop him. I mean, they try to stop him, and they just can't. I watch him week in and week out. And he leads with tackles every week, and he's always going to be around the ball. So, it's been his defense since week one.
He's got that dog in him.
He's got a lot of dog in him.
Oh, yeah. Certainly does. Ryan, how about you?
Well, I have two things to say. So, who is the one who hit the 51-yard? What's his last name?
Griffin Kell.
Kell.
Okay, y'all, you know, that, I mean, we would have won without it, possibly, but I rewatched the game on Sunday, and, you know, he missed the first one, and then they got the penalty, and he looks over to Song, and Song tells him, keep your eyes on the ball, don't look up, you know, and then he just nailed it. It was, and he set some records, tied some records, both of them were so key, and just for Song to be able to give him a quick, advice, and he took it, and then it worked was fantastic. Those are things that you don't catch always when you're at the game watching. It's fun to go back and watch, but obviously I have to go with Duggan. I mean, holy smokes, if he hadn't been on like he was, we wouldn't have won that game. It was so nice to see everybody on the ball come together, but he was, like y'all said, I mean, that was his team the other day, and it sure was fun to watch, and I hope we see a lot more of it. And then one more thing is when I rewatched the game, seeing Cumby after he made that last touchdown, Duggan, where the gum came out of his mouth and everything, it was amazing, and everyone's questioning the gum. He had to put that back in his mouth. That gum had been with him the whole game. Like, if he had not put – put that back in his mouth, it could have all gone to hell in a handbasket. We know how that is. So.
But, and just to clarify, we're talking about the gum came out of his mouth and hit the ground. And he
it
went
did,
down,
but who
picked
cares?
It up, put it back in his mouth. That was
well, and then, and the other
classic.
Thing, too, is no he's
problem.
Such a polite guy. He's such a polite guy that I honestly think he's like, I can't leave it on the ground because somebody's going to step in it and it's going to be everywhere. And then he's like, there's no trash can around. So what's he going to do, hold in his hand? And then I still think it has to do with superstition. He's like, this, I'm not partying with my gum right now. Things are just going too well. But then when we won, you never see Patterson get overly he gets excited, but it's always still measured and controlled. When you watch the game back, he is just flailing his arms, cheering, and it was just so refreshing to see that genuine happiness, you know, in him at the end of the game. The whole team on the sideline, it was just, it was amazing. I love the dynamics, the camaraderie, everything. It just all looked really, really good.
It really was. And I think, you know, we have the purple shirt in San Antonio, and we have a stick of gum in Fort Worth. So, hey, there you go. So,
yes.
It's all good. Jack, how about you? Player of the game. Jack, you there?
Did you say Jack?
Yeah, Jack. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. If there is a Jack, right? No, I want to go back on the field goal right before the half. I think that was very, very critical. I mean, you know, they had taken the lead 17-10, and we put a little dent in it. And, of course, he missed the first one, and then, you know, with the timeout from Tom Herman, he was able to get the second. But my player would be linebacker Garrett Wallow also. I think – I just think the young man sets a tone physically. You can just tell that, you know, they look toward him. And he relishes that role, and whether he's taking on a big running back or whether he's covering somebody out of the backfield, the guy's a player. I mean, he is a player. Kind of reminds me of today's Jason Phillips.
Oh, yeah. Good comparison.
Just kind of nasty, you know, just kind of, just so he doesn't cut his nose for a poster.
Yeah. Hopefully not. I don't see Wallow doing that, but
no. That's another
season
good
story.
I actually do.
Yeah, you do?
Actually do, Nathan.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I should be worried.
Let's not give
about
him
that.
Any ideas.
Yeah, right? Exactly. All right, Dubber, how about you?
Well, you know, this week, you know, I'm glad everybody chose who they did because I feel like there's one more than one MVP. I mean, there were so many big plays and big things. But since y'all all chose who you choose, and I'm going with the Stewart kid at quarterback because we didn't hear from him. We didn't hear, really didn't hear from Anthony. I mean, they had to play shut down corner on their wide receivers, and I thought for the most part, we flat shut them down. And so for him being in that big a game, being that young, and then putting him out on the island, and he played like he played, I just, you know, I was proud of him because I didn't think it was going to happen quite that good. I didn't think our corners were shut their top receivers down quite like they did.
Well, you picked one corner. I'm going to pick the other because I agree with you. I think without having those two guys absolutely just take away the deep ball most of the day, a lot of those inside routes, and just be absolutely just a blanket coverage on those Texas receivers that absolutely burned us last year time after time after time, I think that was the story of the game. I think that allowed Patterson to rush three and then send Wallow when he needed to or send an outside blitz and not have to overcommit like he did at Kansas State. And he got to play his own game. He got into a point where it was a chess match against, you know, Herman. And, you know, the poor guy from Mensa failed. He couldn't get it done. And this was the first game I think I've seen in this season where Patterson was heads above the guy on the other side of the sideline when it came to game planning and just calling a game. I think he's had some issues up to this point that, you know, here and there, but I think it all starts with that shutdown corner play and being able to, for him to be able to move guys around and be able to make things happen and just make Ellinger just kind of guess what the heck is going on every single play. Cause he did, he looked like he was lost out there half the time. And it starts right there with those guys on the island. And that's what coach always says, right? It always starts with those guys on the island. So I'm with you there, Deborah. It was a fantastic
game. Well, there's just so many of them. I mean, that's the great thing. That's when you know it's a great victory, when everybody's got a different one. And we probably could have added a couple more in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know it's going to be a good game when Coach P responds to somebody on Twitter last year. Because he responded to one of their players or their
the UT
their,
like, football
Twitter,
account.
Yeah, the Twitter UT page. Commenting about someone, and it was a picture of one of their dudes standing over one of our corners, and Coach P just responded with a winky face.
Nice.
Hey, y'all, what was it last year that UT said or did in a, I think it was an interview or press conference right before we left and drove down to the game? Like, we were even contemplating doing t-shirts, but we didn't want to jinx the game. It was hashtagable, whatever they said. Do y'all remember?
Nobody, I don't know. They say so many stupid things in Austin. It's kind of hard to keep them
on
track.
It was a big deal. I remember they were basically another, like, Sisters of the Poor comment, you know, and it just really ticked everybody off.
Well, I know one year they called us Purple Baylor.
Oh, yeah.
That's worse than calling us cockroaches, to be honest with you.
It is.
I kind of like the cockroaches. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind being called a cockroach again. Just not compared to Baylor, no. I will do one quick. Sorry, real quick. I do want one little honorable mention as far as player of the game, and that is the crowd. Because the crowd brought it on Saturday. Even Wallow made a comment on Instagram where he was just praising the fans coming out there and cheering for them and the support that they gave. And you know, the game before this, obviously, was Kansas. And we all know Kansas isn't going to travel. And we know that, you know, for an early game, it was an 11 o'clock start, there wasn't going to be a whole lot of fans there. But you know what? The fans came out on Saturday, and this is the kind of fan support that needs to happen every weekend. But for Saturday, you guys brought it, and that was awesome. And the players noticed, so keep that in mind for next time when we have Baylor at home.
Hey, the last thing, there is no curse with Del Conte. We kind of crushed that.
Yeah, that is true.
Oh, man, he went down there, and he's taking all our mojo with him. That's over.
Mojo? Did you see that jacket he was wearing? He doesn't have any mojo. Uh-uh. Did you see that horrible burnt orange with the elbow patches that he was wearing?
Doesn't make anything look good in orange.
Oh, man. Go on to killerfrogs.com, and in the forum, you'll see their photos. There's a photo thread that Tony posted, and he took a shot of Del Conte just looking absolutely devastating. And it's in this most ugly, drab-looking jacket with these horrible-looking elbow patches. He looks like the saddest professor in the world.
Oh. You know what, though? They want his head on a platter. I mean, after that game, it was
sad, don't they?
To see them. And then, yeah, they sure do, and I feel bad for him and his family. And then somebody even said, can somebody please go down to Fort Worth, put a blank check down on in front of Gary on his desk and just tell him whatever it takes, you got to come to UT. I was like, there's no way he would ever go to UT. And I can say that with confidence.
I would love for Gary to have that happen. I would love to see Gary take that check, write insufficient funds, and then mail it back.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, their call-in shows and fan boards—they were really after Chris. I mean,
bad,
he missed tackles or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, right.
But
exactly.
It's not even his guy. It's not even his guy. I mean,
right.
I mean, if it was his guy, I'd understand it. I mean, if Secretary don't get it done, then he fire him and hire somebody else. Then it's his guy. He came in and inherited this guy.
Well, and you can't fire Herman after last year. There's no way you could fire him after last year. So, you know, I don't see why they're upset with him. That's just misplaced anger.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't realize how good they have it with him.
Yeah, they're back.
They're back, and they're mad because they took a step back.
That's yeah. Okay. They're back to being our I'll edit that out later.
Our 99 problems. Yeah. They're 99 problems we are.
Yeah, honestly, you want this one so much more, especially after Ellinger did the whole we're back thing at the Sugar Bowl last year. So,
yeah. Yeah, between that
was important to me. Because it kind of killed that whole momentum. Because they had already lost two, and it was kind of like on the edge of like, okay, are they? Or are they just like, you know, they lost to OU, which is understandable. Mm. But this one kind of cemented like the okay, it was all we're good. They're not really back.
Yeah.
Well, and now you kind of have to guess as we kind of look around the rest of the Big 12 that happened on Saturday. You kind of have to wonder, A, what the heck is going on with the conference? But B, are the top two teams really the top two teams in this conference?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. It's kind of a great segue. I mean, is Kansas State a little better than what we thought, or mm-hmm. is Oklahoma not as good as we thought? I always thought Texas
might be both.
Was overrated. But
yes.
I mean, and then SMU being there.
Yeah. I was going to say, and then SMU, I know they're not in our conference, but shoot, they're the best team in Texas right now. That's crazy. Makes that
no. You got Baylor.
Baylor's
on
the
field.
SMU is the best
team in the
state. Well, wait a minute. Baylor's listed above them. I even put that on Facebook, and I can't remember what it said. Okay, so SMU's second. That's still pretty dang good.
SMU's got the best record in the state.
Thank you. I remembered it.
Right.
Yeah, I would definitely not say they're the best team, but I think they have
the best
record.
Don't know that. We don't know them.
They beat Houston.
They might be Baylor. You never know. I would love it.
That would be nice.
I would take SMU. I would honestly, and I mean that, I'm not trying to be like Baylor sucks. Honestly,
I am.
The way they're playing, I would take SMU over Baylor.
I know.
I really would take SMU over Baylor.
Yeah, well, Bushell's got them going the right way.
I was a little shocked to see that the Aggies were above us. I don't think the Aggies are anything to write home about.
They're not.
Aggies always think they're the best.
I hate to tell you, you all have blinders on about Baylor. They're a little better than what we all say they are.
We don't want to.
Oh, I think they're very good.
They are doing well, but I still would take SMU over Baylor.
Yeah, I'm going to pick.
I don't know about that.
I'll pick any team over Baylor.
I'll never pick Baylor.
Yeah, exactly. Never pick Baylor.
Yeah. It's...
No, I've never picked A&M. That's right.
Well, I know, but we're not you.
I want WSU's train on that one.
We don't pick Baylor either.
Well, we'll have an opportunity in a couple of weeks to see what we have against Baylor, and hopefully maybe at that point in time we get to upset their apple cart as well. So that'd be a nice way to kind of go into the last part of the season. So we'll see how that goes.
You're right.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about upsetting the apple cart, because we just talked, you know, Oklahoma lost. Of course, we beat Texas. Iowa State loses to Oklahoma State, but the most baffling thing that happened on Saturday to me is Kansas beating Texas Tech on what was the most unbelievable two
gosh.
Plays I have ever seen in my life.
It was so Tech. Just
it really was.
Play. It was like just the most Tech play. Like,
I mean, they blocked the field goal attempt.
Okay. In my ignorance, I did not see it, so I just heard.
Okay.
All
right, so I'll set the stage for you. Kansas has a chance to win the game with about 11 or 12 seconds left to go. 14 seconds on the clock, right? They line up for a field goal. Field goal gets blocked. The Texas Tech player picks it up, starts running down the field, and runs into traffic, turns around, and tosses the ball behind him. There's nobody there. Like,
not
even close. It's like... The only thing behind him is green field, and he tosses it behind him like he's doing a lateral. Kansas jumps on the ball with 1 second left. They kick the field goal and win the game.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
What a gong show.
All he had to do was just get down, and it would go to overtime.
Yeah.
That's all he had to do.
Oh, my goodness. So I don't, that kid, I mean, oh my gosh, people better show up on campus.
I don't know if I like feel good for, like, you know what, Kansas, you know what, here's a little luck for you, or if I'm just like really wild Texas Tech, like that's how your season's going.
But Kansas played pretty well the last 2 weeks.
They did. Honestly, well, they've been playing pretty above average the most of the season, aside from
Arkansas. Anytime Tech gets beat, I'm happy too.
Yeah.
But yeah. Kansas never really has good luck, except for last year when it was Buffalo.
Well, they got it. They got it on Saturday. They got it in spades. Yeah. It was awesome to see. But, yeah, it's just such a weird thing, because then you kind of have to reevaluate. It's like, well, here's a team that we beat pretty handily, nearly beat Texas, and we beat Texas. And then they beat Texas Tech. And then here's Kansas State, who we probably should have won that game, puts a beat down on Oklahoma. Yeah. Yeah, you kind of have to evaluate a little bit. It's like we're some of the teams that we thought, again, of course, Ryan mentioned SMU, we're some of the teams that we thought were like, oh, yeah, we're going to get this, and then these are the games that are going to be difficult. Maybe we have to readjust our perspective on this season. Maybe it's the exact opposite.
Well, we got to beat Texas Tech and Oklahoma.
And Oklahoma State.
We just need to win out.
I mean, that would be nice. Yeah.
The thing about it is, I think our conference, good enough, or I don't know if you call it good enough or average enough, that anybody can beat anybody.
Yeah.
Period. If you don't come to play, you're gonna get beat. See, I don't look at Oklahoma State Iowa game that closely as far as, well, Oklahoma State barely beat Iowa State. Iowa State killed us, because that's just it was a bad game by us. But if you have a bad game, you're gonna get hammered. You know.
Yep.
So, I mean, every week, if you're not ready to play, you can get.
You got to bring it.
Yeah, absolutely. You do have to bring it. Well, and speaking of bringing it, we are taking a giant bus to Oklahoma State on Saturday. And Ryan, we still have a few tickets left because we just upgraded to a bigger bus, right?
We did, but we're already down to, I believe, four. Last I checked, which was yesterday, we had four tickets. So we may have gotten a. We may be sold out. I don't know, but if it'll let you buy it, go ahead and give it a try. But we're gonna have a full bus, and I just bought 14 tickets off of StubHub for a group of us on the bus who hadn't gotten tickets yet. So it's gonna be a nice trip.
I was about to ask you that.
Yep. 14.
I'm gonna go down there and tailgate if Ryan hasn't bought me a ticket yet.
She's got you covered.
She's got you covered. Absolutely. And you know who else got us covered? Big shout out to our two sponsors for the bus trip. First off, Jennifer Nix with Williams True Real Estate for sponsoring us. She has been fantastic on this, so go and check her out. Also want to give a big shout out to Fort Brewery and Pizza. They're supplying the beer. So if there are tickets available for you to go down, go online, buy a ticket. Between the free beer and the sponsorship that we have for Jennifer Nix, you guys, and by the way, if you guys got in early with your tickets, you're going to get one of the great little hoodie, kangaroo pouch, t-shirt, long sleeve shirt, excuse me. I keep adding things to every time I describe this shirt. You're going to get one of those, but we're going to have some extras. So hopefully, you know, if you buy your tickets now, don't feel bad. We'll try to get you one, but I tell you what, between those two sponsors and this bus trip's going to be fantastic. So if you can get an opportunity to grab one of those last couple of tickets, do it, because it's the only way to go to Stillwater and back. So with that,
I'm bringing breakfast too. I'm bringing burritos and donuts. Yeah,
burritos and donuts. It's the best thing ever. Well, let's move on here towards the back half of our podcast. And Jack, you mentioned you had a little bit of a story about a time we played Oklahoma State.
Well, yes. I know most people think that the Oklahoma State TCU series as conference members started when we joined the Big 12. Throw this little nugget out to your folks. In 1923 and 1924, I guess I was about 7 or 8 then, Oklahoma State was known as Oklahoma A&M, and they were in Southwest Athletic Conference. And we played them 2 years back to back, and then they left after that to join what was then called the Big Six, which was the prelude to the Big Eight. They then changed their name in 1957 to Oklahoma State, as we know today. But we had a series with them back in the early 90s. And fortunately, this was just at the end of the Barry Sanders, Thurman Thomas run. So they didn't have the running backs that of that caliber then. But we had some really good games with them. And there was one in particular, and it would have been Coach Wacker's last year at TCU. And in fact, it was a 7-4 year. Unfortunately, we won late in the year. So back then, there wasn't all the bowl tie-ins. Deals had been made, and so a 7-4 TCU team stayed at home. But in that game at Oklahoma State, we jumped out in that at 24-0. And I can remember sitting there, and there was, you know, I'm thinking, well, we're going to roll these boys, and this will be the, you know, this will be a great win. And we had a couple of dropped interceptions that would have went the other way and really put them away. But they hung around, they got a touchdown, and then lo and behold, here they are inside the 10-yard line with about a minute and a half to go, losing 21-24 to us. And I'm just thinking, this can't be 24-0 and lose this thing, you know, 31-24 or whatever. But we stopped them, and then due to a little bit of mismanagement of the clock and timeouts, they ran a play. We tackled them on the 4. They jumped back up and tried to run another play, and the horn came off, and we won the game 24-21. Yeah. And that was unbelievable. I mean, not to pin Coach Wacker's saying, but that was a really exciting game. One of those where you're going, come on, clock, come on, clock, come on, clock. And then the other thing is, you know, you talk about the difficulty of winning in Stillwater, and that's also extended to some other sports, mainly men's basketball. 2 years ago, I was up there, and we beat Oklahoma State. And it was the first time since 1923, which I was, again, 7 years old. But now, we don't play them every year, but, I mean, there's a lot of times we did, because we would play in, you know, they had an Oklahoma Christmas Classic basketball tournament that we went to many times year after year up in Stillwater, and then it eventually moved to Oklahoma City. But there's quite a few games there, and, you know, to have two wins in Gallagher Iva Arena is telling you what kind of tough place it is, and also, obviously, their stadium. But that 24-21 was that was really exciting. I mean, I was never so glad to hear a referee shoot the gun in the air in all my life.
That was back when they still had guns, huh?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, they had a gun then, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I don't know. I'm just saying that.
I always remember that scene in MASH.
SWC member. Most people have forgotten that.
Yeah.
And we also played them in the Cotton Bowl 1 year when they were Oklahoma A&M, and that didn't go very well, but that's another little nugget.
Hopefully Saturday will add to the wonderful memories of playing Oklahoma State, because like we mentioned before, a couple years back we did end up winning up there in Stillwater, which kind of got the monkey off of our back, because we hadn't done very well in Stillwater since we joined the Big 12 up till the 2017 season. So we're looking forward to Saturday, and a lot of us are going to be on that bus up there. But let's talk just end tonight's podcast, go around the horn. And why doesn't everybody give me a little bit about what you expect or what you want to see on Saturday from the team, and then give me your score prediction. And, Ryan, let's go ahead and start with you.
All right. Well, I want to see what I saw last weekend from our team. Win or lose, I want to see just that same excitement and having fun and the coaches, just everything. It was great. And if it results in a win, even better. I think we are going to win. I think it is going to be very similar. So I'm going to go with 36.
You were close last week.
Yeah. I was. I picked 34-24, so I was really close. I'm going to go 36-21.
Okay. Like it.
Yep.
That's good. All right, Shannon?
Yeah.
We handle business. We play. I'm like, Ron, if we just continue to play and get on a roll, if we can have the same play from the corners, because, listen, we know they're going to throw the ball. We do have to find a way to get pressure up front. I don't think three men is going to cut it. We're going to have to figure that out. But if we continue to play like we did, and I think it's our time to go and put a good game together in Oklahoma against Oklahoma State, because we just hadn't done it. And so I think we pull this thing out 37-34.
I like it. All right, Nathan, how about you?
I don't know. I was like, and I've kind of said this the whole season, like, I just really can't figure out how good Oklahoma State is. I'm going to go with 34-21 Frogs.
Okay.
Kind of
picking up on Ryan's vibe there. I like that. Not bad. Jack, how about you?
Well, I'm going to go with what I think is an Oklahoma State tradition, and that's one good win and then a disappointing. And they had that one in Ames last Saturday, and I think it's 31-20 TCU.
Yeah, they got a lot of real similar scores tonight. I kind of like it. All right. Let's Hunter. What do you got?
I think it'll be a close game. I really think our linebackers are going to have to tackle well. They have Chuba Hubbard's a stud running back, and also Spencer Sanders runs the ball really well as a quarterback. So we're going to have to keep those guys contained, and I think if we do that, we can win. And I'm going to go 38-31 Frogs.
All right. Dubber, how's the barometer feeling about this game?
Well, I'm kind of like Nathan in the sense that, boy, you never can figure out Oklahoma State. I mean, so, but I kind of agree with Jack. One good one, one bad one. So, I think if we play like we did last week, we'll be all right. So, all I do is want to see us continue to play with the, like everybody's been saying, same consistency and just build up what we started last week, especially the second half. And I am going to go with score of, let's see, well, y'all want to pick my, I mean, it's all right there together, because I believe, so I'll go, let's see, I'll go 38-27. Did they pick that one?
No, you're the first. You got it. 38-27 is yours. Yeah, I agree. I think, though, that getting the monkey off of Dugan's back with that interception and what I saw out of him from that point on, I think that's going to carry into next week. I think we're going to see more Rager. I think we're going to see a lot more Barber. And I think the offense is going to start to come alive a bit more than we've seen in the first half all season long. So I'm going to go TCU 42 and
yes.
Oklahoma State 24.
I like it.
Yeah,
I really like that score. I really do.
I like it too. That's why I picked it. So I'm hoping. Yep. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I predicted UT wasn't going to score in the second half, and that totally, you know, blew that right out of the water. But you know, we ended up winning the game, so I like it. Yep. I think this is going to be a good game. It's going to be a lot of fun in Stillwater, and hopefully, Frogs will be able to come back with a win. And just continue this season and continue this march, because I know there was a lot of doubt, you know, from a lot of fans going into this week and going into last week, and then after that Texas win, I think we all saw a lot of really good stuff. Obviously, you know, who knows what next week's going to bring, but hopefully they'll bring back a W.
So, Baylor loss.
And a Baylor loss would be great too. Yeah, it sucks Thursday that they night. Had a bye on this weekend.
West Virginia, I thought. No, it's next week.
So. Yeah, they play Thursday.
Thursday night.
Okay.
So we'll know before we go to Stillwater, so that'll be good. All right. Well, with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody who's out there listening to us. We're available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, pretty much everywhere you can find podcasts. And if you have a moment, why don't you run on it there, and we would appreciate it if you give us a 5-star review on iTunes. It helps the podcast become discoverable for other TCU fans who may want to listen to us. Of course, you can go ahead and share the podcast on all your social media platforms. You can find Killer Frogs on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and Instagram, pretty much all the major social media networks. And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's the time where we all get the frogs up and we get to say,
Go Frogs!
Go Frogs!
Beat the Cowboys. And then hopefully the Cowboys win on Sunday.
Oh, no kidding.